Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Welcome to the Transfer Rumour Mill with me, Kieran Critchard. I'll be taking you through the next hour as we build up to that transfer window slamming shut Thursday, 8th of August at 5 p.m. We have got not long to go in this window, and every single team knows they've not got long to wrap up their transfer business this summer. Some of the top stories in the transfer world as we build up to that window slamming shut. Manchester United have ended their interest in Christian Eriksen. We brought you the news about 24 hours ago that Manchester United were considering a late bid for the Tottenham midfielder, but it seems unlikely that that is going to happen. It is believed that he favours a move to Spain, and the Telegraph reports this afternoon that Atletico Madrid have opened talks with Christian Eriksen. So could he be making the move to Madrid this summer? We'll have the latest on that. We've got Rob Guest, Spurs reporter from football.london, coming up in the next few minutes. So we'll get the latest on Eriksen's movements. Will he still be a Spurs player when they take on Aston Villa at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium on Saturday? Tottenham themselves are potentially in for a few players. Could Felipe Coutinho replace Christian Eriksen at Tottenham? Barcelona supposedly after a £21 million loan fee and also covering all of his £200,000 wages. Will we see him make a return to England 18 months after he left Liverpool for £146 million over to the Nou Camp? Everton's bid for Wilfred Zaha has been rejected. They made a bid yesterday of £70 million for Wilfred Zaha. That was plus Cenk Tosun and James McCarthy. Crystal Palace have been categorical in their stance on Zaha, that if no one goes above £80 million, which is the fee that Manchester United paid for Harry Maguire, they will not even consider any bids. So as it stands, Wilfred Zaha is said to be very disappointed, is currently training with Crystal Palace, waiting to see if he will make a move this summer or not. Bruno Fernandes, a player that's been linked with Manchester United and Tottenham this summer. His agent is supposedly meeting with Sporting Lisbon's president today to discuss his future. Where will he be playing in this coming season? Will he make the move over to England, or will he have to stay put in Portugal? Remember, though, the European window stay open for a few more weeks, so he could then move elsewhere in Europe. Arsenal have rejected a £30 million bid for Alex Iwobi. Everton are interested in him. Maybe that's them switching their attention away from Wilfred Zaha to Alex Iwobi. Ludicrous amounts of money for Alex Iwobi. Everton are thought to be going ahead with a second bid, though. They're not going to be put off by that. It could be a very busy 24 hours for Everton as they look to reinforce their squad. About a week ago, manager Marco Silva said that he was looking to make five new signings in the final week of the window. It begs the question, what on earth were Everton doing for the last few months if they need five players in the final 8 or 9 days of the window? They've had a bid rejected for Chris Smalling. They had offered a loan deal to Manchester United to take the centre-back on loan for the coming season, but that has been knocked back. Will Everton go back in, or will they look at other centre-back partners or centre-back targets? They've been after Fikayo Tomori from Chelsea. They've been interested in Nathan Ake. They're interested in Chelsea defender Kurt Zouma, who they had on loan last season, but Chelsea seem adamant that with their transfer ban, he will be going nowhere this summer. So Everton will certainly be busy in these final few days. This time last year, they brought Yerry Mina and Andre Gomes in just before the deadline slammed shut. So it'll be sure that Everton will do plenty of business, as will Crystal Palace. They have been very passive in this window, only Gary Cahill, Jordan Ayew and Stephen Henderson in this summer. They're supposedly closing in on the move for Victor Camarasa from Real Betis. Cardiff fans will know him from last season. He was on loan there. So they're looking to secure that deal. James McCarthy, who's being offered by Everton in a potential swap deal for Wilfred Zaha. Crystal Palace are interested in him, irrelevant of that deal. They're looking to secure an £8 million deal for the Irish midfielder. And they're potentially looking for a couple of defenders. If there are any Crystal Palace fans out there, any fans of any club, make sure you get in touch with us here at Love Sport. You can call us on 0208 70 20 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We're also on WhatsApp. So any questions you may have, any views you may have, who do you want your club to sign in the next 24 hours? Who do you think might leave your club in the next 24 hours. We want all of your views, all of your questions. Make sure you get in touch with us and we'll be sure to answer any questions you have. Tottenham will be very, very active in the next 24 hours. They've been rumoured to be interested in a lot of players. One of the weird ones is Ryan Sessegnon, a player they've been linked with all summer long. I spoke to Love Sport's very own Don Betts, who will be in the studio at different points during this hour, a few weeks ago, and he seemed to suggest that it's going to get done, that this deal is going to happen, but it has failed to materialise. And as of yet, with just over 24 hours to go, still no movement on that. Ryan Sessegnon is still not a Tottenham player. So we're going to have to wait and see on that one. They've been linked to so many other players, Felipe Coutinho and Paulo Dybala in the last 24 hours. They've been linked with Bruno Fernandes and Giovanni Lo Celso all summer long. Will Tottenham be able to add really to just Tanguy and Ndombele this summer? There could be a few players that leave as well. Obviously, the likes of Kieran Trippier have already left this summer. Will Christian Eriksen be following him out of the door this summer? Also, links over Toby Alderweireld's future at the club. Also, Serge Aurier has been linked with a move back to France. And considering Tottenham are already looking light and they've already sold Kieran Trippier this summer, it would seem weird if they were to let Serge Aurier go unless there was someone lined up to potentially replace him in the next 24 hours. I'm delighted to say that to talk all things Spurs, we can talk to Spurs reporter for football.london, Rob Guest. Good afternoon, Rob. Let's start off with potentially some negative news for Tottenham. The news that potentially Tottenham are in talks with Atletico Madrid over the sale of Christian Eriksen. Obviously, this deal doesn't necessarily need to go through in the next 24 hours, but would you fully expect for Eriksen to be making that move to Madrid this summer?
Well, his hoops has been up in the air for a while now. Obviously, they've been linked with Real Madrid for about 18 months or so. And I think many people actually believe he would end up joining Madrid this summer, but they're looking at other targets now. I think Paul Pogba and Donny van de Beek from Ajax look like he's going there in the coming days, providing a fee can be paid. And then yesterday, it looked like he was going to Manchester United, potentially, but now I think they've dropped their interest as I think Eriksen's intent on going to Spain. And yeah, as you said, Atletico Madrid are the latest club to be looking for him. But it could actually drag on quite a while, as you mentioned.
Potentially, in terms of replacing Christian Eriksen, it could be Felipe Coutinho, only a link that's emerged over the last 24 hours. Tottenham may be interested in a loan deal. Mauricio Pochettino might have called Coutinho personally to try and convince him. How likely do you think it is that Coutinho will be making that move to North London?
I'm not 100% sure on Coutinho going to Spurs before tomorrow's deadline. I think that could be one what could potentially maybe force the hand of Real Betis in regards to Giovanni Lo Celso. I think he's the one Spurs have been looking at for quite a while now, so I think if any attacking midfielder was going to go to Spurs, I think it would be Lo Celso, but that's providing a fee can be agreed with Betis, as that's proved problematic of the past couple of months now.
Paulo Dybala is obviously another name that's been mentioned. Sky in Italy reporting last night that a £64.4 million fee had been agreed. It seems like actually the biggest stumbling block of them all could be the fact that Paulo Dybala would be after £350,000 a week. Surely, are we going to see Tottenham break that wage structure to sign Dybala?
Well, it sounds like they're going to have to do if they want to get him. So, he did look like he was heading to Manchester United in a swap deal for Romelu Lukaku, but it was the wage demands again what scuppered that deal. So that's the stumbling block, and that's something Spurs are going to have to decide on in the next 24 hours or so if they want to bring him to the club.
Bruno Fernandes' agent is supposedly meeting with the sporting president today. Tottenham have been linked with him. Is it a case of it will be either one of Fernandes, Lo Celso or Coutinho, or could we see if Eriksen does leave, potentially Tottenham look to bring in a couple of those types of players?
Yeah, they might have to take a bit of a gamble and maybe get two, depending on what happens with Eriksen, because from tomorrow, from the deadline, it doesn't mean that Eriksen remains at Spurs. After 5 o'clock, he can still go up until 2nd of September to Spain. So we'll have to see. But I think with Lo Celso and Fernandez, there is going to be agreeing on a fee to look at €70 million. So I think there's going to have to be a bit of give there, because Daniel Levy will want to get the best possible deal. Their respective clubs have gone to want as much as they can possibly get for them.
And just finally then, Ryan Sessegnon is a name that's been linked to Tottenham all summer. It's felt like for so long now, Tottenham are just a couple of steps away from signing him. There's only just over 24 hours to go. Are Tottenham going to miss out based on the fact that Fulham want too much or want more than Tottenham are willing to pay?
I think if there's going to be a deal to be done tomorrow, I'd probably say Sessegnon might be the most likely out of them. Then Fulham do want a lot of money, but then again, if they don't before the deadline, then his fee's only going to drop, as he's in the last year of his contract. It doesn't actually sound like he wants another one, so I think Fulham might just have to cash in on him. And I know there's talk of Josh Onuma potentially going into the deal as well, the opposite direction. So, I mean, that could potentially swing things really for Fulham.
Well, it will be a busy last 24 hours of the window for Tottenham. Thank you very much for joining us, Rob. I know you're very, very busy with all these transfer news. That was Rob Guest, Spurs reporter for football.london. Tottenham being linked with so many players coming into the club, and also a number of players that could be leaving the club. Obviously, at the beginning of the summer, the likes of Alderweireld were linked with moves away. Danny Rose is still a Tottenham player, despite the fact that a couple of months ago, Danny Rose said he wasn't sure what his future would be at the club. But plenty of deals in the pipeline for Tottenham. It's a case of how many get over the line. Obviously, all those names aren't going to be coming in. They're not going to be signing Coutinho, Dybala, Lo Celso, Fernandez, Sessegnon. They're not going to be signing all of those. But it could be a case of a few of them may get over the line. With Paulo Dybala, the biggest stumbling block is the fact that the wages. He wants £350,000 a week. That would not just break Tottenham's wage structure, it would completely smash it. So I don't see that happening. I don't think there's any chance of that. Coutinho, it would require a significant investment in a loan fee of £21 million. And again, £200,000 in wages, which I think is more than even Harry Kane is on at Tottenham, who's the highest earner. So I don't think that one will happen. I think it's a case of Ryan Sessegnon probably is the most likely. And Giovanni Lo Celso is probably the most likely of those midfielders that they are after, who could then be a replacement for Eriksen. As I mentioned, they don't have a deadline of the next 24 hours to get that done if it's going to be to a foreign club, which I think Tottenham would prefer. I think Daniel Levy is resigned to the fact that Eriksen will leave this year, as he's only got 12 months left on his contract. And it will be a case of how much money they can get from potentially one of the two Madrid clubs. So it's set to be a busy one for Spurs fans. They'll definitely be hoping they can get a couple of those names over the lines. Any Tottenham fans out there that want to give your views on Tottenham's window so far and what they need over the next 24 hours and their hopes ahead of the season, make sure you get in touch with us. Call us on 0208 70 20 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We're also on WhatsApp. Love Sport. Welcome back to the Transfer Rumour Mill with me, Kieran Critchard. The transfer window is most certainly hotting up. It closes at 5 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Make sure you stay with us here on Love Sport until that deadline and afterwards. All the reaction to the transfer window, all our shows between now and then will be dedicated towards the transfer window. So make sure you stay tuned for all of that. It's set to be a really good end to the window. Usually it's anticlimactic by the time we get to this stage of the window, but it's sure to be an exhilarating end with so many big transfers in the pipeline. And also the added complication of the fact that the European windows are still open for a few more weeks. I think Serie A is open until the 18th of August, and all the other big ones are open until the end of August. So still plenty of time potentially for players to leave the Premier League and go abroad around the continent. We're going to do a bit of a Premier League club rundown now. All of the clubs, we're going to go through all 20 and give you an update on some of the latest rumours coming out of all of these clubs. So starting, obviously, at the top, alphabetical order with Arsenal. They are still in four defenders. They've brought in attacking players in the form of Dani Ceballos and Nicola Pepe, but they are still looking at defenders. They're interested in two centre-backs, Dayo Upamecano from RB Leipzig, the young French defender, and 25-year-old Italian defender from Juventus, Daniele Rugani. It seems like Rugani is probably the more likely option, with Upamecano, his fee being so high and Arsenal perhaps not being able to afford it or not willing to afford that type of a deal. So Rugani seemed like the more logical one. They're obviously still chasing Kieran Tierney. They've been all after him all summer long. They've had two bids rejected for him from Celtic. They're still looking to get that one over the line, and they've not got long to get that over the line, so they'll be pushing for that one. And one bit of departure news from Arsenal today is that Carl Jenkinson has come to the end of his Arsenal career. He has signed for Nottingham Forest on a three-year deal. So he's been out on loan numerous times, but now he has permanently left the club, perhaps in better style than Laurent Koscielny did yesterday. Aston Villa, they've done a lot of business in this window. £135 million spent so far. It's probably that's going to be it really for Aston Villa unless the right sort of deal comes up now. In terms of departures, Scott Hogan might be leaving on loan to the Championship with the likes of Stoke interested in his services. Bournemouth, they've been reasonably quiet. They brought in the likes of Lloyd Kelly from Bristol City. They did make another signing yesterday in the form of Liverpool and Wales winger Harry Wilson, who spent last season on loan with Derby County. He had a very, very good season as Derby got to the playoff final. He is signed on a season-long loan deal, but it doesn't have an obligation or an option to buy. Liverpool still see him as a potential future first-team player. For Brighton, obviously under new manager Graham Potter, they announced a big signing yesterday in the form of Brentford striker Neil Maupay for £20 million. Interesting to see whether Graham Potter adds any more to his squad in the next 24 hours. Burnley, again, it's been a very quiet window for them. The likes of Jay Rodriguez has returned home to Burnley. Eric Peters has signed from Stoke. They are interested in Chelsea midfielder Danny Drinkwater, who's had a rather anonymous few years. It's gone missing, really, in the Premier League. They're interested in him on loan. It seems that James Tarkowski will stay this season. Obviously, he's been linked with a move to Leicester to potentially replace Harry Maguire. However, I think they've been put off by the £50 million fee. And also Burnley looks set to rival Marseille for Nantes French midfielder Abdoulaye Touré. Chelsea obviously currently experiencing a transfer ban this summer, so they've only brought in Mateo Kovacic, who they agreed last season on loan, and so therefore they had the chance to sign him permanently this summer, which they did. It could be a few players on their way out. I mentioned Danny Drinkwater. Fikayo Tomori could be on his way out. Everton are interested in his services, although Kurt Zouma, who's also been linked with a move to Everton, it seems very unlikely that they will be doing any business there. Crystal Palace, they've been very passive in this window. Only the likes of Gary Cahill and Jordan Ayew through the door. They are closing in on a move for Everton midfielder James McCarthy for £8 million. Victor Camarasa, Cardiff fans will remember him last season. He was on loan there, and he is set to join Crystal Palace on loan from Real Betis with an option to buy for £15 million next summer. On to Merseyside and Everton. They've had numerous bids rejected for the likes of Wilfred Zaha and Abdoulaye Doucouré. They are set to end their interest in Doucouré. It is yet to be seen whether Everton will go back in for Wilfred Zaha. But could they be turning their attention away to Alex Iwobi, who they've had a £30 million bid rejected by Arsenal? They are expected to go in with another bid. They're closing in on the loan signing of Monaco right-back Djibril Sidibé, who's one of the final pieces of the jigsaw that was left at Monaco that won the title a few years ago. We'll be getting Adam White's thoughts on that in the next few minutes as to what type of a player Everton can be expecting there. Morgan Schneiderlin could be leaving the club. Fenerbahce among the clubs interested in his services. Leicester, obviously they sold Harry Maguire in the last few days. They're potentially looking at loan deals to potentially replace him. And they are interested also in another Belgian midfielder. They signed Youri Tielemans this summer. They're interested in Sampdoria's Dennis Praet, but that is still a long way off, still a long way off in terms of valuation, a huge disparity between the two clubs. Back onto Merseyside and Liverpool. It's been a very quiet window for them. It could be a few more departures. Harry Wilson joined Bournemouth, as I mentioned, yesterday on a season-long loan deal. Ryan Kent, Jurgen Klopp has ruled out a loan move for him this summer. It will be a permanent one or he will stay. Leeds still in for him to replace Kemar Roofe, who's gone to Anderlecht. £7 to £10 million. Ryan Kent could be going there. On to Manchester, and Joao Cancelo's move from Juventus is set to be confirmed today. Obviously, he will join Manchester City in £27 million and Danilo will go the other way. So we're still expecting confirmation of that one. Benjamin Mendy had a very sneaky tweet earlier when congratulating a departure for the Manchester City women's team. He was asking whether she had seen a Portuguese right-back in the corridors at the training ground with two eye emojis there. So potentially not the biggest secret, but Cancelo expects to join imminently. the other side of Manchester, the red side of Manchester, Manchester United, have ended their interest in Christian Eriksen. They will not be moving for him as he is believed to favour a move to Spain. No move for Lyon striker Moussa Dembele. Romelu Lukaku's future is still up in the air. He's still in Belgium at the moment, which he's being fined for not turning up to training. His agent is in London for talks with Manchester United officials. Will he be making the move to Inter Milan this summer? And also, they've turned down a bid from Everton to take Chris Smalling on a season-long loan. Newcastle, obviously, they've brought Joe Linton, Alan Saint-Maximin in this summer. They're set to add another signing, and that is the Swedish right-back Emil Kraft from French club Amiens. The 25-year-old Swedish international has travelled to Tyneside for a medical, roughly £5 million. Norwich have today signed defensive midfielder Ibrahim Amadou from Sevilla on a season-long loan to add to the likes of Ralph Farman and Patrick Roberts that have signed this summer. Sheffield United, all their business looks set to be done. They've signed the likes of Ollie McBurney and Ravan Morrison. They've broken their transfer record three times, but their business looks set to be done. Southampton, Josh Sims is set to be loaned out to New York Red Bulls, but it looks unlikely that Ralf Hasenhüttl will add any more pieces to the jigsaw for the South Coast side. Tottenham, as we mentioned, are very much active in these final few days of the window. They're in talks to sign Felipe Coutinho and Paulo Dybala, but those deals have still got plenty way to go before they start to get completed. Christian Eriksen could be off to Spain and Atletico Madrid, and Serge Aurier has been linked with a move to France. Tottenham have been linked with Elside Heise from Napoli this summer, so it'll be interesting to see whether he makes the move there to replace Aurier. Watford have rejected a bid of over £30 million for Doucouré from Everton. That looks unlikely to happen. Still in talks to sign Ren winger Ismail Assar, who they've been linked with all summer long but still not agreed a deal. And also they're in talks to sign Danny Welbeck, who's a free agent after leaving Arsenal. West Ham, they're close to signing Basel striker Albion Ajeti in a potential £8 million deal. That's to back up Sebastian Haller, who they signed earlier this summer. And finally, Wolves. They're interested in Daniele Regani, but could be beaten to that signing by Arsenal. They will target Lazio's Wallace, who's 24 years old, for €6 million to add depth to their defence as a cheaper alternative, Regani, if he doesn't sign. Oh, take a breath. Got through all 20 Premier League clubs there, and I'm delighted to say that one name that I just mentioned there, Ismail Assar from Rennes to Watford, and delighted to say we can be joined by Adam White, French football expert at Get French Football News this afternoon. Good afternoon, Adam. This is one that's dragged on all summer long. Will Ismail Assar make that move to Watford before that deadline slams shut?
It's pretty much touch and go at the moment. It seems like it might done. We were reporting on GFFN that L'Equipe had said the agreement was still some way off, and that was this morning, you know, last night sort of time. So there's not too much time for the Premier League sides to sign players before the end of the window, but it definitely seems like negotiations are a relatively advanced stage, but an agreement still a little way off. So I'd say it's still pretty likely, but it's going to be close.
Laurent Koscielny obviously yesterday confirmed the move to Bordeaux, and the video release on social media hasn't exactly enamoured Arsenal fans. What's been the reception of Koscielny in France, and in particular at Bordeaux, where he signed?
Well, Bordeaux, first of all, it's a huge signing for them. They're a club that have been sort of in the doldrums for some time. They won the league 10 years ago under Blanc, and it's been downhill pretty much since then. They lurched from the one managerial disaster to the next, and the fan base pretty disenfranchised over the last sort of 3 or 4 years, and attendances have been down. And Koscielny was a very popular French international and was a French international for a long time, and probably gone to the World Cup if he hadn't sustained that injury in the Europa League for Arsenal against Madrid, I think. It's a huge signing for him. It's been extremely well welcomed. But yes, the social media reveal with him taking off an Arsenal shirt to have a shirt underneath seemed a little bit not in bad taste. Well, maybe it was in bad taste, but it just seemed ill-advised. But the reception for him has been huge, and he seems keen to help the develop. They're a team that are looking to develop young players and sell them on, and they see him as a crucial part of that. They were hoping to get him on a free, but they couldn't negotiate that, and the fees ended up being up to €6 million. So a big signing for Bordeaux, and the reception's been positive for him. I think he wanted to get back closer to his extended family, which is near Bordeaux. Rennes were interested as well, but their interest came a little bit too late. So a big signing for Bordeaux and Dorothy.
On Merseyside, Everton are awaiting confirmation of the signing of Jibril Sidibe on loan from Monaco, one of the last remaining figures of the title-winning side from a few years ago. It's with an option to buy at the end of it, we believe. What type of a player will Everton be getting in the form of Sidibe?
Well, it's an interesting one. It's one we were talking about on the Get European Football Show, which is on Love Sport on Monday nights at 9 o'clock. We were talking about the fact that he is a very inconsistent player. He's very good going forward in that title-winning season with Monaco. He was obviously fantastic going forward with Benjamin Mendy on the other wing, and they were very dangerous. But defensively, he's very suspect and can make mistakes and can be caught out of position. Obviously, a French international is still a competent player, and theoretically, it's a good signing. I think he'll suit the Premier League. But he defensively is very suspect. He may even end up further forward. He actually played relatively well for Monaco on the right-hand side of midfield. In the second season, the season after they won the league, and was productive there in that 4-4-2. So he's a capable player. He's good going forward, but he could get sort of exposed defensively.
Well, another player that's been linked with a move from Ligue 1 to the Premier League is Moussa Dembélé this summer. The Lyon striker could be in line to replace Romelu Lukaku at Manchester United. That seems to have got quiet, and it's been a window where Lyon have lost a lot of key names, Tanguy Ndombele, Nabil Fekir, Ferland Mendy, the big names to have left. It seems like Lyon will be able to keep their man.
Yeah, it does. And this is an interesting match you've had earlier on this year, which didn't really come about. And I think that's probably relatively wise. Dembélé had a very good season last year in terms of numbers of goals, but he's still relatively raw in and out of the team. He definitely needs another season in France to develop, and maybe United will come back and look at him next season. And Jean-Michel Aulas, having said he wanted to sell, you know, the president of Lyon only said he wanted to sell a couple of players, ended up selling three big names, and it's very unlikely that unless they offer that they would sell him. And honestly, I don't know if he's necessarily worth a really, really big fee from United at this stage. So probably good for all concerned.
And we've got through a section without mentioning Neymar's name. Fantastic. Thank you very much for your time, Adam, this afternoon. I'm sure it is a very busy afternoon for you, as obviously the French window doesn't close, but obviously the Premier League window does, and lots of interest from Premier League clubs in Ligue 1 players. Thank you very much. That was Adam White, French football expert, Get French Football News. Always great to have Adam on the line. And as he mentioned, the Get European Football Show every Monday here on Love Sport from 9 until 10:30 p.m. Always a fantastic listen to get the latest around Europe. And as I said, great that we could get through a 5 or 10 minute segment there without mentioning Neymar's name. We constantly mention it. PSG supposedly offering him to everyone except Barcelona. They're the only club they don't want to negotiate with. If you have any views on any of those transfers, as I mentioned, any club that you support, get in touch with us, 0208 70 20 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We're also on WhatsApp. So who do your club need to sign in the next 24 hours? How would you rate your window? Make sure you get in touch with us.
This is Love Sport.
Welcome back to the Transfer Rumour Mill with me, Kieran Critchard, giving you all the latest on all the transfer rumours as we build up to that deadline tomorrow afternoon at 5 o'clock. To go through some of the latest transfer rumours from the Midlands and to review how those Midland clubs have been doing in the transfer window so far, I'm delighted to say that the Midlands football expert for the Press Association, Nick Masheter, joins me this afternoon. Nick, thank you very much for joining me. Let's start off with Wolves. They've had a decent window so far. They've signed Jimenez and Dandonka on permanent deals after loans. They signed Cotrone on a permanent deal from AC Milan. Jesus Vallejo from Real Madrid. What can we expect potentially in these final 24 hours from a Wolves perspective?
Well, Nuno doesn't like to work with a big squad. He likes to have all his squad on their toes, expecting to be involved in the Saturday, in the Saturday squad or whenever they do play, because he doesn't like deadwood, basically. So I wouldn't expect a raft of players to suddenly pitch up a money in the next 24 hours. If they can get one done, that would be good. Mario Lemina at Southampton is a target, but that one's very much in the balance. And of course, Wolves have, as long as their plane is on time, have just taken off to head to Armenia for the Europa League. So, but that doesn't make an awful lot of difference in terms of Nuno, because obviously the staff are here sorting the deals out if they need to be done. But I wouldn't expect loads of deals. It's more of the outs. I think we'll look at players like Leo Bonatini possibly heading out on loan before the deadline.
Wolves have been linked with a few different defenders. Daniele Rigoni from Juventus is a player that has been rumoured to be interesting Wolves. Is that an area, if Wolves do any business, that across that back three, obviously they do play three centre-backs, is that an area that they might look to invest in if the right deal becomes available?
Yeah, quite possibly. We've got Connor Cody, Ryan Bennett, Willy Bowley, who were obviously the three that did so well last season. Vallejo has joined, obviously, from Madrid this summer. So they've got four. I think in an ideal world, they might have wanted one more. As I said, Nuno won't bring anybody in for the sake of it. If it's the right deal, then they'll do it. But if they need to go with just the four, then at least they have a little bit more cover than they did last year.
As you mentioned, Wolves are making that trip out for their latest Europa League qualifier in Armenia. With the fact, obviously, they could play Torino actually in the final qualifying round. If they get to the group stages, are you concerned that you said Nuno likes working with a small squad, but having to balance Thursday night football with Premier League football that he didn't have to cope with last season, do they realistically have the squad that can cope with that?
It's a calculated risk. We saw last season they did exceptionally well with their prehab. They had very, very few injuries. So there was an element of exceptional prehab, but also an element of luck, not getting any long-term injuries last season. So there is it's a calculated gamble, calculated risk. Nuno has been at pains to point out that he worked with a similar sized squad when they were in the Championship, when they won the Championship, and they played over 50 games. But, of course, there wasn't the travel involved. This is a 6,370-mile round trip they're making a few days before the start of the season at Leicester on Sunday. So it could come to backfire. But, obviously, they've looked ahead. They've got Cotroni in from AC Milan. Jimenez has played constant football for the last 12 months, and he's only had 2 weeks break this summer. So we're expecting that Jimenez will hit a wall at some point. So they have looked forward to that. But I think most of us here in the Midlands do recognise it as a bit of a calculated risk.
And just finally, then, on Aston Villa, they spent a huge amount of money, £135 million this summer. It would be unlikely that they will do any more. If we can therefore sum Villa's summer up, will they fall into the trap of Fulham, or have they identified the right type of players? A lot of people are predicting Villa to stay up this season. Have they identified the right players that will fit Dean Smith's squad well?
You've got to say the jury's out. There's been such a lot of turnover at Villa. There was always going to be, so it's not a surprise that there's been this much. But you can't judge it until sort of November, December, when things have started to settle down. They might have hit on an absolutely seamless and flawless plan. I've known Dean for 10 years, since he was head of youth at Walsall. Fully back his style of management. He's a very good man manager, has a clear plan, knows what he wants to do, and also has one of the best coaches, most underrated coaches, I think, in the business in Richard O'Kelly as his number two. So we can't second guess it. We just have to wait and see how it plays out. If they get relegated, then of course people, will be able to say they've done a Fulham. But until that happens, we really just have to wait and see.
So it seems like it might be a quiet end to the window for the Midlands Club. Thank you for joining us this afternoon, Nick. That was Nick Mashiter from the Midlands Press Association giving us the latest on what is happening at the Midlands Clubs. Obviously, it's been a busy summer for Aston Villa, £135 million spent. Wolves have added a few different players, but it could be, according to Nick, a quiet end to the window for those two clubs in the Premier League. I'm delighted to say that Love Sport's very own and Fulham fan Dom Betts has joined me in the studio to analyse some of the Championship signings this summer. Dom, we'll start off with your club, Fulham. How would you evaluate their summer? Just to paint the picture, they've kept Alexander Mitrovic, which surprised many people. They've signed Ivan Cavallero from Wolves on loan, Anthony Knockaert on loan from Brighton. Harry Arce has just signed. Yet to sell Ryan Sessegnon, he still has yet to depart. How would you assess Fulham's summer?
I think it's gone okay, but it could have gone a lot better. I think, yes, keeping Kearney and Mitrovic on new contracts are great, although it seems Tom Kearney signs a new contract every 12 months these days. Bringing in players like Knockhart and Caviera, who have experience of getting out of the division with Wolves and Brighton in recent years. Harry Arce got out of division with Bournemouth, but I still think the squad's quite thin. We've got a great first 11, or good first 11 that can challenge for promotion very easily, but if there's any injuries, especially in the midfield and the defence, you do worry. You know, you only have to look at Fulham's bench on the weekend, and the only midfielder on the bench after our three in the middle was Luca Della Torre, a 21, 22-year-old from our youth team. So there is a good first team there, a good championship first team there, but the depth is where we're lacking at the moment, and you know, we still haven't sorted that defence out, and especially if we lose Alfie Mawson to an injury, which is bound to happen this season, then you know, we are quite thin on at the back. So I think that, you know, going forward we look good, but for me the biggest problem is squad depth at the moment for us. And obviously Harry Arce came in yesterday, but I still like us to bring in at least another centre back and a right back.
In terms of just a few rumours, are there any players out there that Fulham could be looking to acquire in the near future?
The one that sort of popped up again today was Mo Besic on loan from Everton, which would be a good deal for us, because I think that Kevin McDonald, as much as I love the man and he was so good in the season that we got promoted, he looked dead after about 5-10 minutes against Barnsley on the weekend. So I do think a new dedicated holding midfielder. Yes, Harry Arce plays deeper, but I don't think it's necessary that holding player to allow the other two midfielders to go forward. Getting Mo Besic in would be a good deal, just because we do need a backup holding midfielder after Kevin McDonald. I think the only other player on our squad who can really naturally play there is Ibrahim Asise, and he's nowhere to be seen after he came back from the African Cup of Nations. So the only one player being linked at the moment is Mo Besic from Everton, which I think would be a good deal for us. But yeah, that's the only one at the moment, and we'll see what happens Ryan Session over the next day or so.
Moving to another club in London in the Championship, Brentford. A lot is being expected of them, quite a bit of pressure on them to perform. It's been a mixed summer for them. They've brought Pontus Janssen in from Leeds, which was seen as quite a significant investment, quite a big moment in the Championship this summer. But they've lost Neil Morpay to Brighton this summer. They've had a bid rejected for Charleston striker Lyle Taylor that we were talking about a bit yesterday. Has Brentford's business this summer put them in a position where they can challenge as high as some people are expecting?
I think that the way they're run, the style of play they like to play, everyone's always going to enjoy watching them. They are going to challenge it, but you know, it's hard to say. You can't really analyse it off the first weekend of the Championship, because I think half teams who lost on the first weekend of the Championship will be ending up be the teams who will be challenging it towards the top of the league. So, yes, they were so unlucky against Birmingham City on the weekend, had, 70-odd% possession, hit the woodwork three or four times, had God knows how many shots, and then Birmingham get one attempt and put it in the back of the net. So, I think, you know, they've lost Morpay. They could still lose side Benrahma. So that will be two massive losses for them. The only worry with the loss of Morpay, and if he don't get someone in like Lyle Taylor, as we spoke about yesterday, is where the goal is going to come from. Because as I said, from challenging from, you know, 8th or 9th to challenging from 3rd, 4th in the league, you really need that player who's going to get you 20 goals a season. And I just don't see that in Brentford's side at the moment.
In terms of transfers that stand out from the Championship this summer, the likes of Helder Costa has gone on loan from Wolves down to Leeds. Romain Sawyer swapped Brentford for West Brom. Kamil Grabara has gone on loan from Liverpool to Huddersfield. Which Championship signing, Pontus Janssen, moved from Leeds to Brentford? For you, obviously, you can say a player that Fulham have signed, but who's the player that jumps out of you as the kind of the big name signing, the best signing potentially of the summer so far in the Championship?
I still think it's our signing of Anthony Knockhart. I do think that so, because I think he's, when he got Brighton promoted, he was the best player. He was the best player in the league by a country mile, and I think he's going to, he can change games single-handedly. And I look at Helder Costa, I look at Pontus Janssen, they're great players in the Championship, but I don't think either of them can change the game single-handedly as much as someone like Anthony Knockhart can.
Anthony Knockhart strikes me as the type of player that's good in the Championship, couldn't make the step up to the Premier League. Just finally then, you mentioned about that first weekend of the season, all three relegated sides, Cardiff, Fulham and Huddersfield, all lost on the opening weekend of the season. Is that just a case of it's the opening weekend? It's a long season, 40-odd games in a season, that none of those managers will be particularly worried about losing on the first day?
I do think they'll be worried. I mean, anyone, if you lose any game of football, your manager's going to be worried. But I think what people don't take into account, yes, you're coming from the Premier League and you're going to be much better than your position, but you're still within that losing mentality. You haven't won in God knows how long. Whereas the teams coming up like Barnsley have been winning. And then that mentality sort of plays a part here. So I think it was simply a fact of, you know, they haven't fully adapted to the Championship quite yet. But I think all three teams will be challenging near the top of the table.
I think there's quite a significant amount of pressure on Jan Sievert at Huddersfield. He came in second half of last season when we all knew Huddersfield were gone. And it feels like he has to hit the ground running, and losing at home to Derby on Monday would have been a blow. Laurie said that potentially Wayne Rooney signing of the Championship. I know he won't join until January, but potentially, who knows how that will pan out. We'll have to wait and see into the second half of the season. Dom's going to stay in the studio. We're going to do some transfer rumours. We're also going to have producer Laurie in. We're going to look at some of the newly promoted sides into the Premier League, evaluate how their business has been done. Make sure you get in touch with us, 0208 70 20 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We're also on WhatsApp.
For the fans, by the fans. Love Sport Radio.
Welcome back to the Transfer Rumour Mill with me, Kieran Crutcher, for just another 13 minutes. Yet another show flying by. And we're going to turn our attention, obviously, to transfer rumours. And it's also linked to the analysis of some of the newly promoted sides. And I'll bring producer Laurie in on this. Villa have spent £135 million. Norwich, just £1.1 million. Sheffield United have broken their transfer record three times. On the face of it, I know it's an impossible question to ask now, but what... Who would you say, out of those three sides, looks to have made the most sensible signings this summer?
Do you know what? I actually think I would still say Aston Villa. I know you get a lot of people saying, oh, they're going to do a Fulham. But when you look at quite a few of the signings that they've made, they've got players back in who they had last year. And I think a lot of their players who they already had as well were ready for that step up to a more permanent Premier League chance. But people like Anwar El Ghazi or getting Tyrone Mings in on a permanent deal, I think they're really good, sensible signings for the Premier League. I know Tyrone Mings, like Jack Grealish, for example, at Aston Villa, haven't had a great deal of chances in the Premier League to prove themselves as they might like to. But I definitely think they're ready for the step up. And the only place I'd worry about Aston Villa is goals up front. Some of the signings that they've made at centre-forward, obviously Wesley's come in. His goal record in Belgium's not great. That can go both ways. See, like, Lukaku hit the ground running when he came. He did great in Belgium. But then also Mitrovic, when he first came to Newcastle, wasn't really at the races at all. So that's one where, you know, hopefully they've got the goals there. They're obviously being linked with Jean-Kevin Augustin as well. So maybe if they've just got the case of safety and numbers there, that'll be great. But at least they're not signing another midfielder, because they've honestly signed about 500 midfielders.
With Norwich, Dom, it seems like Daniel Farker is staying quite true to the squad that got him there. They've signed experience in the form of Ralph Farman. They bought Josip Dermich on a free from the Bundesliga. Patrick Roberts on loan from Manchester City. Is it a wise call by Farker to trust the players that got him there, even if a lot of them don't necessarily have a huge amount of Premier League experience?
I think they've done the most sensible business out of any of the three promoted teams, if I'm being perfectly honest.
There you go, contrasting opinions. Why is that?
Because if you look at Aston Villa and Sheffield United, again, as much as you can bring this quality in, I think it is important it's not just about the quality of players you bring in. If you bring in 10 players who weren't at the club the previous season, you create a divide in the dressing room, because your Premier League team now, you're bringing players most likely on Premier League wages, then the players who got it from the Championship aren't going to be on these wages, and it creates a divide in the dressing room. Again, Villa, it might sound the likes of Tyrone Mings and Anwar El Ghazi, but there's also the likes of Wesley Moraes, marvellous, what a name anyway. But I just think Norwich have done sensible. You know, you're forgetting that everyone talks about Aston Villa because of the size of the club, but you've got to remember they only came up through the playoffs last year. They weren't the best team in the Championship by any stretch, and Norwich were. So I think for me, Norwich have done sensible business. It's going to see how well Patrick Roberts does do in the Premier League after spending time in Scotland and in Spain. You look at Josip Dermich from Borussia Mönchengladbach on a free transfer. Again, it's a very sensible signing. Ralph Farman on loan for a loan fee of only £2 or 3 million. A very, very good goalkeeper. Very experienced goalkeeper. You know, you missed out Sam Byram coming in from West Ham. Yes, he didn't have the best times at West Ham, but when he was coming through at Leeds, he looked so good in that right-back position. So for me, they've made the most sensible transfer business, because for me, they've still got their core to their squad. They've still got the camaraderie between the players who got them up last season, and they were clearly the best team in the Championship. So you'd argue with these signings, they'll probably be the most equipped actually to do as well as they will this season.
And finally, Laurie, on these promoted sides, Sheffield United have broken their transfer record three times. Ollie McBurnie is probably the guy that's going to lead the line for them. We always talk about the need for a potential 15-goal-a-season striker in particular, for newly promoted sides to stay up. Jermaine Defoe at Sunderland was a key example of a player that really kept them up single-handedly. It is the real concern for Sheffield United, the fact that you're looking at a lot of inexperience in the Premier League and potentially a real lack of goals.
I think there is potentially a real lack of goals. I definitely agree with Dom in the sense that I think they have made the least sensible signings. You only have to look at Ravel Morrison for that. But up front, I actually think Ollie McBurnie is a really decent signing. It was at around £20 million or so. Yeah. You know, he never really got as much of a chance as he would have wanted with Swansea to play in the Premier League. And funnily enough, that's a similar story to Billy Sharp. We've obviously seen him score a couple of hundred goals in the Football League. But when he was at Southampton, you know, he never got as much of a chance as he probably felt that he deserved in the Premier League. And he's probably quite unfortunate for the quality of goal scorer he is, that it actually took him to get to 33 before he really got a proper chance in the Premier League. I'm, to be honest, more concerned about Sheffield United's defence. They've signed Phil Jagielka, which I think is a nice idea. Obviously, he's coming back. He gave away that penalty when they got relegated. They only had to draw. They ended up losing. Obviously, that was the year when West Ham stayed up with all the controversy about Carlos Tevez and Javier Mascherano. But yeah, I actually think that Sheffield United could surprise people and score more goals than you think, but I think they could have gaping holes at the back.
Moving on then to the transfer rumour section, as we usually end the show. Arsenal still after a defender. I mean, they've signed William Saliba, but he's gone back on loan. He's not going to be playing this season. They've been after Kieran Tierney all summer long, but because of their payment structure, they still haven't got it over the line. They're interested in Dayot Upamecano from RB Leipzig. They've been interested in Daniele Rugani. Do you think we're going to get to 5 o'clock tomorrow and Arsenal still haven't addressed the issues that everyone can see they need?
What I don't understand is, so you get £30 million coming in for Alex Iwobi, who is a backup winger, if you look at the options they've currently got. Yes, he's probably the only other winger, natural winger they've got after Nicola Pepe. But if you're getting £30 million in for him, surely you take that and you lump that money straight to Celtic to bring Kieran Tierney to Arsenal. Because there's no chance they're going to get Upamecano from RB Leipzig. Where are they going to find this £70 million from? Yes, he's a great defender and any Premier League team would be lucky to have him. But I can't see Arsenal forking out the money for him. You have Daniele Rugani. Obviously, with Juve bringing Matthijs de Ligt, they'll probably be looking to move him on. So, yes, then that'll be a good sign if they can get him on a loan deal. But I feel like Juventus will want like some money for him on a permanent deal. So, for me, it doesn't make sense to me while Arsenal haven't fixed their defensive problems. And they've lost a centre-back as well, obviously, in Laurent Koscielny. You know, Rob Holding still hasn't come back from his injury yet. Callum Chambers didn't play for defence Fulham since probably post-September, October last season, playing midfield the entire time. So I just don't understand why they haven't looked at it more seriously, because, yes, as I said, Nicola Pepe is a great signing, but at this rate, if they are going to do well, they're going to have to win every game 5-4.
Moving on to Manchester United, and an interesting rumour today linking them with a move for the former Tottenham striker Fernando Llorente, who obviously has become a free agent this summer without a club at the moment. Does this suggest that Solskjaer is looking for a potential plan B behind Rashford, that it seems ever more likely that Lukaku will leave this summer, whether it be to Inter Milan or to Juventus? Are they looking to bring in Llorente as a potential lump it forward guy that they can bring off the bench in the final 15 minutes of games if they need to?
Well, they don't have many options for number nines at Manchester United. You've got Marcus Rashford. I wouldn't say Anthony Martial is a number nine who you play up front on your own. Yes, Llorente would be a great option off the bench as this plan B type striker. But for me, you should play that would give Mason Greenwood a chance. He's looked really good in pre-season. He scored, 22 goals or something for the under-23s last season. So for me, I don't think this makes sense to either of the parties, and I think they should just stick with the options they've got in, you know, Marcus Rashford, Anthony Martial and Mason Greenwood.
Well, a bit of breaking news to bring you. We talked about Tottenham earlier on in the hour, and this time yesterday, it was starting to emerge that Tottenham were becoming favourites to sign Philippe Coutinho. Well, that will not be happening. The breaking news is that Philippe Coutinho has turned down a loan move to Tottenham this summer from Barcelona. Obviously, Barcelona were looking for £20 million loan fee. They were also looking for the club to pay all of the £200,000 wages, but it seems like that deal won't happen. Coutinho's agent earlier in the summer said if he was going to come back to the Premier League, there was only one club that he was going to join, and that would be a return to Liverpool. So he will not be making that move to Tottenham. Potentially, that means they have to switch back their attention to either Giovanni Lo Celso or Bruno Fernandes. That is the end here.
This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.